Hallo almal, my naam is Christopher, vir die wat my nie ken nie. Lekker om 'n paar gesigte te sien weer wat ek nog nie gesien het vandat ek terug is uit Rusland uit nie. So dis is ja, voorreg om vandag hier te wees en die woord van die Here met julle te deel. En dis amazing. Ja, dis amazing die woord wat Johan gebring het, Charlie, Rian, Drika, met nog 'n woord gebring, mis ek iemand. Ja, net amazing. Ek het nie voor die tyd met hulle gepraat nie, maar die Here praat en dit is so vir my 'n bevestiging dat ek ook op die regte spoor is. En ek wil net getuig, ek het een gebed voor die diens gehad en dit was, Here, ek het vir die Here gesê, Here, ek vertrou die, dat daar vandag participation gaan wees. En so halfpad in worship en dus ek sê, okay, niemand het nog gekom nie. En toe kom Charlie en toe na Charlie, Rian, Johan, Drika en net, ja, net toe die Here faithful is, ook in daai. So, Here, ons gee vir u die glorie. Ja, dankie vir hierdie woord, Here. Dis u woord en ek vertrou, Here, dat u woord vandag vir ons gereed sal maak, Here, dat losveters vasgemaak sal word, dat die wat in die gees slaap wakker sal word, Here. Want die tyd is min, Here. U het 'n belofte dat Jesus sal terugkom. En ons weet die vyand van die dag wat Jesus opgevaar het en vir sy disippels 'n belofte gegee het dat hy gaan terugkom. Van daai dag af, Here, het die vyand probeer om die kerk aan die slaap te hou, blind te hou en te sê nee, Jesus kom nie weer terug nie. Here, maar ek bid vandag dat daar 'n sirene sal afgaan in die gees wat ons almal sal hoor. Here, dat ons sal wakker word want ons is in 'n geestelike oorlog. Here, en dat ons sal weet, Here, as ons wakker is, kan ons aan u kant wees, want u nooi ons en u roep ons om aan u kant te wees, die oorwinningskant. Here, ons, u roep ons by naam en mag ons wakker wees en dit hoor in Jesus naam. Amen. Ek het my preek in Engels voorberei, so hier switch ek nou Engels toe, so hopelik is almal okay daarmee. Wake up, it's a war. Dis die titel van my boodskap, Wake up, it's a war. En ek hopelik kan jy 'n prentjie daar sien van drie soldate, dit lyk soos twee, maar daar's 'n derde een wat hy lyk of hy gewond is. En ek dink, ek wil net hê vir 'n oomblik, besef net, kyk gaan na daai prentjie en besef, dis die realiteit. Die woord van die Here sê actually dat ons het volharding nodig om by die einde uit te kom. En kyk om jou vandag en besef dat daar's actually 'n groot kans dat nie almal in hierdie kamer gaan volhard nie. En dis ons werk as ouderlinge en dis wat vir ons die Here vertrou is dat saam met die Heilige Gees dat julle so gepositioneer is, dat elkeen van ons so gepositioneer is, dat nie een van ons die soldaat is wat op die vloer lê, wounded, selfs dead nie. Amen. Ek het in, so 'n gedeelte van hierdie boodskap kom in Rusland, ek het laas week vertel, ek het vir 'n jong man gebid, hy was 24 jaar oud. I prayed for a young man, he was 24 years old. And as I prayed for him, he immediately started manifesting. Vir die wat nie weet wat dit is nie, immediately it was evident that this man, he's a born again Christian, but his life was under demonic influence. Now, for some of us, that's a very, like, out there, scary thought and idea. But I want to tell you, if you ask Philip, he's traveled to Africa. We just live in a very Western way of thinking, which means our minds are very much closed to the idea of demonic presence and influence. But if you go in Africa, you'll see it's very, very real. And if you go in parts of the world, you'll see it's the devil is real. I know Jesus is real, and we believe in him, and he is the victorious one, but the devil is real too. And I was reminded, as I prayed for this young man, the demons immediately manifested, because you see, when light and darkness clashes, there's a clash, there's a battle, and in your life, light and darkness is always clashing. There's always a war going on behind the scenes. And my preach today is I'm hoping to call us to wake up. Because I fear for some of us that we are fast asleep. And if we are fast asleep, Drika just said that scripture of the enemy walking around like a lion. And as jy 'n bokkie is wat slaap, ek bedoel, die leeu hoef nie eers te jaag nie. You're an easy, easy target. At least if you are alive, you can get away. The Bible says we must flee from the devil. And I was praying for this young man, and at one point, I addressed the demon by name. So I said, spirit of lust. And you know what happened? He looked at me like this, and he started smiling at me. And it was like, it's scary, eh? It's not scary in a bad way. I wasn't scared. In no way was I bang geweest. But it's scary how deceptive the demonic is. The devil is the master liar. He's like, I don't know if you, I've tried fishing and I've caught a few fish in my life before. How do you catch a fish? You cover the hook with bait. And the fish thinks, this is good. I'm going to enjoy this one. And before he knows it, I'm going to enjoy him. And that's how the devil, he doesn't come with you with a hook, because otherwise you would just run. I want to say to you, as God has a plan for your life and a strategy for your life, so does Satan. He knows also where you are weak. And so he comes to you with something on the hook that he knows is attractive to you. And so what he puts on the hook for me is different than what he puts on the hook for Annie or for Rulin or for Trikas. He knows, I don't want to glorify Satan in any way, but we need to realize the seriousness of the war. So this young man, as far as I know, he had three demons. The first one that we cast out was lust. He was addicted to pornography. And I just want to say, I know like there's theology when it comes to demonic oppression. Some people say, can a Christian be demon possessed? I'm not going to answer that because I don't know. But I know as a Christian that the demonic has no right in my life. As jy 'n wedergebore Christen is, het die demone geen reg tot jou lewe nie. But they get access when you give them access. So whenever I do deliverance, and this was the case as well, is the demons can only leave if you repent of this sin. Amen. The demonic can only leave if you repent of your sin. If you don't repent, they've got free access to stay and to influence your mind, to influence your devotion, to influence how you follow Christ, and they will influence you. So if this preach scares you, then I'm great. Because then we are waking up to the reality that we are in a spiritual battle. You are in a war. And if you are not geared up, if you've not got the armor of Christ suited up, you're going to be like that man on the ground. You'll be dead, because the Bible says in another place, I don't have it, we must not be unaware of the enemy's schemes. All right, so I've focused on the enemy now for a I've done enough. Now we're turning to God. So I wanna start today's preach. That was just the pre-preach. There's any voor preek geweest. Now is die preek. I wanna start today's preach on Haggai. For those who don't know this, this church was founded on this verse. Hierdie kerk is gebore op Haggai 1 vers 2 tot 8. My wife and I, we were praying about Bonnievale, like there was no guarantee whether we were going to come here. And so Uncle Will Murray, who's passed away now, he brought myself and Lisa to Bonnievale, and I didn't hear something specific. I felt like, yes, this is God leading us. But my wife, Lisa, she had a scripture, and I'm going to, this scripture that we are reading now, this is the scripture that the Lord gave her. And we came and we met Philip and Linda Lees. Murray and Carla were there. They're away in Secunda at the moment. Yulita and Warren, they were there in that meeting as well. And Charlie en Andri, was julle daar gewees? Was you guys were there? Help me, wie was nog daar gewees? Valen en Tanya, Rian en Marie were also there. The first, I didn't want to call it a meeting. It was like, let's see what happens. What is God doing? And my wife had the scripture that she was that the Lord gave to her. And Philip, the next moment, Will said, okay, we feel in Josh Jane, we are ready. Christopher and Lisa feels like they've heard the Lord. So from our side, it's a yes. And what do you guys sense? And what do you guys feel? And Philip stood up and Philip read this scripture. And me and my wife, we were going, no ways. Because this is the scripture that the Lord spoke to us before coming here. It was the exact same scripture. And Philip said, this scripture has been coming out in the prayer before this church. This church was birthed in prayer. And in that prayer times, this is the scripture that God spoke. Is it correct? That God spoke. So let's read. I want to... You see, because there are things here in the scripture that will, I believe, always be relevant to Bonnievale and to the advancement of the kingdom in Bonnievale. And I believe you can apply this to Montague as well, but there is something specific in this. And I want to say to you, some of you, you find yourself in Bonnievale for a season. And I want to tell you, it's not accidental. God is in full control. You're not in Bonnievale by accident. You are in Bonnievale because God has ordained you to be here. So if you are wondering, what on earth am I doing in this town? You are here by God's design. You are here by God's purpose. Amen? So let's read. There are things in the scripture we need to take note of if we want to see God's kingdom advance. So let's start reading verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. I want to say verse 2. I've lost count how many times I've heard someone say to me, Christopher, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. And I want to say that's not the problem, that you're not ready. The problem is if you're not ready and you stay not ready. So when you realize that your shoes, the laces need tying up, that's, yes, it's a problem, but it's only a problem if you don't do anything about it. So don't say in your heart, the time is not right. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You see, what is the thing in the scripture? What is this thing in the scripture, verse 2 to 5, that kept the people from pursuing the purpose of God? What was it? They were not ready, but what? They were holding on to something. Can you see it? What is it? Their own houses. What is that? Their own lives. Comfort. I'm happy where I'm at. Things are going well with me. You see, if you put your personal comfort as the main goal of your life, you will not be part of what God is doing in His kingdom. God hasn't called you out of the world so that you can be comfortable. He's called you out of the world so that you can be light to the darkness. He's called you out of the world so that you can go with your testimony of how God saved you. And you can tell that to the people out there who don't know Him yet. I thought about today, a thought that came into my mind. I thought about, you know, we are a royal priesthood. A priest is someone that does work, but we've turned royal priesthood, I'm generalizing now, we've turned it into royal lazy boy Christianity. But God has called you to be light to the darkness, salt to this world. He has called you with intent and with purpose. You have been created for His glory. What God wants to do with your life is amazing. It's way beyond and way bigger than what you can ever think of. All you need to do is say, yes, Lord. Here I am. Use me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, consider this fact. And then Haggai 1 verse 7 to 9. I'm continuing. The next one. Thus says the Lord of hosts. And he says this twice. If God says something twice, pay attention, because this is, you need to, like, this is important. Like, really, everything is important, but if he says it twice, it's very important. Consider your ways. Verse 8, go up, go. That's the word, go. Go to the hills, bring wood, and build the house. This is hard work that God is calling us to. It's not lofa sofa Christianity. That I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it has come to little. When you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. You see, I want to say that God has called us to a great work. And I'm going to bring this back to how does this tie in with we're in a war work and stuff. I want to say that the war is not just for your life, it's for the church as well. You see, Babylon is an example, and I'm going to get to Babylon just now, but Babylon in Genesis 11 is an example of what unity can achieve. Unity even without Christ. God saw that these people had a unity. They were building this tower, and God had to intervene because their unity was so strong, but it was a unity that was outside of Christ. And I want to say that God wants to bring us into a great unity, but in His name, so that we can advance His kingdom. God has called you to advance His kingdom, and that means that it's not just in the four walls of the church. It's beyond the church. It's in your workplace. If you're a teacher, if you're a doctor, if you're a sound engineer, if you are a whatever, that is where God wants to let your light shine into those places so that the kingdom of God can go beyond the four walls of the church. Amen? So yeah, I want to show us something. So this is the problem. And I was reminded of this word for this church, because the enemy of this church, I believe, will be comfort. Our own personal comfort, our own personal welfare will stand in the way of us seeing God's house restored to full glory. Our own personal comfort will stand in the way. Now, I want to show you something, and I want to show you something about Babylon. You can put the next slide on. The Old Testament has two types of slavery. There's the slavery that was the Israelites in Egypt, and that's the picture on the left. Forced labor, hard work. There were no freedom. The people that governed Israel, they were hard taskmasters. Israel was oppressed. And I said there, it was. It's almost like they broke the will of the people. It's like the people had no will left to resist until God sent Moses, and we know the story from there. I think for most, let me say that later. Then there's Babylon slavery. It's a little bit later. The Israelites got captured. They were taken to Babylon. And the Lord said through the prophet, you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. So build houses. Get comfortable in a sense, because you're not going to go home tomorrow. This is going to be a period of 70 years. Go read Jeremiah 29:11. That's part of it. It's like, I know I have the plans for you, but that's like, part of the plan is 70 years of captivity in Babylon. We don't think of it when we read Jeremiah 29:11. That's just a freebie. But do you know that what happened at the end of 70 years? God said, okay, I'm faithful to my word. It's time to go home. And many, many of the Israelites chose not to go home. Isn't that a scary thought? Because you know what happened? But they were so clever. The devil was so clever. He made them so comfortable in captivity that they no longer wanted to get out of it. And I fear and I think that for most of us, for the meeste van ons, is the danger is not captivity on the left. It's the captivity on the right. It's where the enemy comes in and he doesn't break our will. He bends it through comfort and through. So that when the time comes and God says, follow me, I'm calling you to do this. You're like, I can't do that. You're seriously asking me to give up my car? Or you're seriously asking me to relocate to that town? I don't like that town. I like it here. Or what? You're seriously asking me to give up my Friday nights to pray or whatever. You see, this is the problem, I think, for most of us. There are a few people I know that falls more into the category in the right. But for most of us, and for myself, it's Babylon slavery. It's comfort. It's like the king of Babylon said, you can go home if you want to, but you don't have to. And many chose not to go. You see, Satan's strategy is to lull you and numb you to a point of sleepiness. Satan wants you to be, what is apathy in English? Apathetic. Nee. Klink hier reg. Apathy. What is? Satan wants you to be filled with apathy. Bored. Dead. Numb. Lifeless. A zombie. And you're actually in a war and you don't even know it. You're in captivity and you don't even know it. Our children, they are in captivity and they don't even know it. This is, I think, for most of us, Satan's strategy. It's not slavery by this oppression. It's almost like, yeah, man, live a nice life and there you go. Don't worry, God. Bring God in here a little and here there and you'll be okay. But actually, it's captivity. It's Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I want to ask you, are you violent? And what does violence look like? I watched a movie on the plane to Russia. I'm going to tell you, I think it's okay. I'm going to tell you the movie. It's called Saving Private Ryan. Anyone watched Saving Private Ryan? Okay, there's violence. Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm not saying you should watch it, but I'm okay with a little bit of violence. It's a movie about, it starts with the American troops on the beach of Normandy on D-Day. Is that correct? And it's just chaos. That's violence. I want to ask you, are you violent about taking hold of the kingdom of God? Because God is saying, only the violent get hold of the kingdom. In other words, if you're gonna be laid back, you're not going to see the kingdom of God in your life and your children's life. You have to rise up and you have to, take it. I'm going to take it. Because if you're going to be, you know what? I think we can take it. God says, if you take it not with violence, you don't take it. Only the violent take hold of God's plans and purposes. Satan's plan for your life is to have apathy towards the kingdom of God so that you think, okay, you know what? I'm just going to take my time to get there. No. Today is the day of salvation. Today God is calling you to wake up and see the purposes of God and lay hold of what God has for you. You see, what happened in Russia as well was we got this SMS. So I got a Russian SIM card And so we got this Russian SMS. You can die volgende slide opsit, Nikki. So don't read the, or you can read it, doesn't matter. So I got this SMS about 8 times when we were in Moscow or in Obninsk. And you know what, you get an SMS from Russia and you like, you can sort of see it's the service provider. Like, I mean, if Vodacom sends me an SMS, I don't really pay attention. So that was my mindset. And then one day, like after the 6th SMS that we got, one of the guys in the team says, "Do you guys know what this SMS says?" And I'm like, "I've got no idea. I haven't even bothered to copy the message, put it in my translator, and see what it reads." And then when I did that, this is what the message says. Can you see it says "Attention" in capital bold letters with a uitroepteken? Can you see that? You see, but I looked at the message, I couldn't read Russian, and I ignored the message. And I'm wondering how many of us, God is sounding a siren in the spirit and saying that the hour is here for fighting and for war, but we're not paying attention. Or we don't have the language, so we ignore it and we go on with our lives. So, attention, unmanned danger in the Kaluga region, tell one. And I still didn't know what that meant. So we asked the Russians, "Please explain, what does this mean?" So this means that the Russian government have picked up Ukraine drones circling above in the region. So then what happened was, if you go into your app, like your Google Maps or... So what the Russian government does when they pick up the drones is they scramble the signal. So you've got no signal, you've got no internet, you can't use your maps. So, and this for me is just the prophetic picture of the church. Like, are we getting the message that God is actually is sounding the siren and saying it's time? It's time to gear up for a war, because there's a war going up, but the church is fast asleep. We're asleep and we back-footed and we're not violent about what God is wanting to do in Bonnyvale. We're not violent about the fact that God wants to save people who are lost in darkness. We are not violent about our own lives. Are we violent about our children? We let our children watch stuff that's not good for them. We are not violent about the purposes of God. And I'm trusting that today's message will be a wake-up call so that we can be gear up, so that those fetters fast can be, so we can be ready for war and for fighting for what God has called us. Ephesians 6 verse 11 to 12 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." You see, the devil comes with you in schemes. He doesn't jump in front of you and say, "Ha ha ha, I'm Satan." Because if he did that, you would say, "Be gone, Satan, in Jesus' name." But he comes to you and he says, "Ah, my friend, I've got such a nice, come have a look." He's the deceiver. Satan come and he comes to deceive you. "For we do not wrestle," verse 12, "against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Our fight is against flesh and blood? No. It's not against, it's against the spiritual powers that is at work. And we don't have to be spiritual gurus, like weather readers. Like, we don't have to figure out what is every spirit. Like, I don't have the time to go into that. But some people, they become spiritual. We don't have to be spiritual gurus. God is just calling us to be obedient disciples who violently lay hold of God's kingdom. And we only live by obedience. We don't have to be spiritual gurus and create our own YouTube channel so that we can tell everyone what's happening in the end times. Somebody else can do that. That's not what we call to. We call to live faithful, obedient lives to Jesus Christ. I want to say the one thing that I, when I prayed for Artum, my friend in Russia, so we cast out 2 demons. Demon of lust, and a demon, spirit of death. And then there was a third demon that I didn't know was there, but when I said his leader's name, the demon manifested. When I said the name, why don't you have to now go speak to Sasha? When I said Sasha, he went. And you know what is that? That's an offense that's led to unforgiveness and that's become solidified. That's all it is. His leader did something that he didn't like. He took offense. He said, I don't trust you. I don't like you. What you did to me was painful. And I'm not going to listen to you. And I'm not going to forgive you. Door open. Demon. The demon's comfortable there. And we couldn't drive that demon out because he wasn't ready to forgive. If you sit with unforgiveness and you can't break through, it's probably a demon. And you've got to let go. You've got to trust. God is stronger than the demonic. I want to say this. I want to end off with one verse. Revelation 12 verse 11. Because maybe it's all doom and gloom, but there's really actually very good news. Maybe you can read verse 9. I was first, sorry. 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay, that's bad news. Yeah, slechte nieuws. Yeah, dit is slechte nieuws. Het zou beter geweest als dit niet gebeurd het nie. Of als hij niet bestaan het nie, maar he exists and we've got to face him. But here comes the good news, verse 11. And they, who's the they? It's the believers. If you're a born-again Christian, you are part of this they. They have conquered who? Who's him? Satan, the dragon. So Satan is really powerful. Do you agree with me? I think so. But it says that if you've got Christ, you can conquer Satan. If you're a born again Christian, you can conquer the devil in your life. You can conquer the devil's plans for you. And this is how we do it. They have conquered him, the dragon, Satan. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, by the word of their testimony. Number three, for they loved not their lives unto death. I'm going to quickly just say a few things about these three things. You know, before I went to Russia, my wife and I had to have a conversation. She asked me this. And this is real. Because Russia is sort of a persecuted, if you're Christian, it's not fully persecuted, maybe like the Middle East and stuff, but there's a measure of like danger. So my wife and I, we actually had to tell her that my will and my testament is in place if anything happens to me. It's not a nice conversation to have before you go on an outreach, but that's the reality. But at the end of the day, I live in obedience to Jesus. See, if I did get killed in Russia, then glory to Jesus. But praise God, I'm back. And I didn't get killed. But that's the reality, is I want to ask you, do you love your life? Because if you love your life, I'm afraid you're not going to conquer the devil. Because it's they loved not their lives unto death. They were willing to go and to be as obedient no matter what God asks. Are you in that position? Are you in that place for your life where you say, yes, Lord, wherever, whenever, whatever, God, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you please. And that doesn't mean all of you are going to go to Russia or Yemen or Iran or Ukraine or wherever. But it means that you hold your life not as precious unto yourself. You're not living for your retirement. You're living for Him. And you live in obedience to Him. And it doesn't matter what anyone thinks of you. If God says to you, stop your car, pray for that man next to the road, then you do it. If God says to you, whatever, then it means you do it because you love not your life unto death. The second thing, they overcame by the word of their testimony. Who has a testimony? This is a question. Who has a testimony? All of us. Are you sure? I think you only have a testimony if you are born again. So if all of us are born again, then yes, that's all of us. But if you're not born again, you don't have a testimony. Because then you're not yet saved. So I'll create an opportunity for you to respond if you're not yet saved, if you're not the born-again Christian. Because if you're not a born-again Christian, the dragon's got his head over your... I'm thinking of Winston Churchill that said something about reasoning with a tiger. Anyway. You see, I wonder if many Christians are not overcoming. Because you know what the scripture is not saying? And they overcame the devil by the thought of their testimony. When last have you shared your testimony? When last have you spoken about your testimony? Shared about how you came to salvation? Shared with your children, or with your spouse, or with someone random, or with the kids at your school, or with your friends, wherever? You see, we overcome by the word of our testimony. And I think for many of us, we have become passive in this fight against those powers at work, because we think about our testimony, but actually it's not the thoughts it's the word. So I wanna encourage you. Speak your testimony. And if you say to me, Christopher, I don't have a testimony, then tonight is the night that you get a testimony. Because Jesus is here right now and He says, you can come to me. I'll invite you. You are invited. Just accept me as your Lord and Savior. I've paid the price for your sins. You don't have to try and figure this out by yourself. Because I'm going to end off with this. They've conquered Him by the blood of... Whose blood is that? Jesus. What blood is it referring to? It refers to Jesus' death on the cross, where He said, it's finished. Do you know what He else said on the cross? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in a moment, Jesus took your sin. He took Zander's sin. He took Gershwin, uit jou sonde gevat. Edna, Dave. He took my pornography. He took my swearing. He took my smoking. He took my drinking. He took my rebellion on Him on the cross. And He said, it is finished. I've paid the price so that you can now come into the kingdom. Because the blood has made the way. The blood has paved the way. The veil is torn. The presence of God is open to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. But I want to say that if you are not born again, the dragon is already devouring, already destroying your life. So if you are here today, my plea for you is, if you are not born again yet, to say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to surrender. I want to be on the victorious side. Ek wil in die wenkant wees. I also want to pray for, if you are here today and you know that there's an area in your life where Satan is actually ruling and Jesus is not the Lord of everything in your life. I actually want to pray for you as well. So can we close our eyes? One of the things I saw in Russia was just a complete openness and no guilt, no shame. You see, I think one of the things in our culture that hinders us is our pride, or trots. We find it difficult to say, Lord, that's me. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to respond to this word. I'll do it at home where no one looks and no one sees. No, God is saying, He's calling you to respond in this moment. Forget about the fear of people. Forget about what people think and say, Jesus, it's between you and me. Vergeet van wat mense dink. I do want to create an opportunity. If you are here today, as jy hier is vandag en jy weet jou saak met die Here is nie reg nie. En is tyd om reg te maak, is tyd om oor te gee, is tyd om te glo in Jesus en die prys wat hy vir jou betaal het. Sonder om 'n atmosfeer te skep wat dit nou vir jou makliker gemaak. Ek gaan net vir jou vra, almal se oë gesluit. Is jy hierso vandag en jy wil jou saak met die Here regmaak? Steek op jou hand. Awesome. Kan ek vra asseblief almal se oë toe? Everyone's eyes closed. Dankie. Worship you, Lord. Jesus. Gaan net vra daar wie sit. Sal jy staan as jy gou jou hand opgesteek het? Ek gaan jou nie vorentoe roep nie. Gaan net vra daar wie sit dat jy sal staan. Dis net tussen jou en die Here. Niemand gaan vir jou kykie. Dis net tussen jou Here. Baie dankie. So is there anyone else? 3 mense wat vandag met die Here regmaak en sê, "Jesus Here, van vandag af is U my Here. Van vandag af gee ek oor. Ek wil nie in hierdie fight wees sonder U nie, want ek gaan verloor." Is daar enigiemand? Dalk is jy 'n jong mens. Dalk is jy Is daar enigiemand anders? Dalk het jy al jou lewe vir die Here gegee voorheen, maar jy besef net vandag dat jy is nie in Jesus se hand nie, maar jy is dalk in die greep van die vijand. Satan hou jou vas, hy hou vas, hy het 'n greep op jou lewe en jy wil loskom. Vandag is die dag wat die Here die bloed van Jesus jou vry maak. Ek gaan vir die laaste keer vra, is daar nog iemand? Is there anyone else that wants to say, "Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you, God"? Vader, dankie vir hierdie 3 mense wat vandag, Here, na U toe draai, Here, en hulle harte vir U oopmaak en sê, "Here, ek kies om vandag in U te glo. Ek kies om die prys van Jesus wat in die kruis gesterf het vir my sondes. Ek kies om dit te aanvaar. Dit is my redding, dit is my verlossing, dit is my hoop. Dit is my enigste uitweg is die bloed van Jesus vir my lewe." En ons sê vir Jesus, ons sê vir U dankie Jesus dat U aan die kruis gesterf het vir ons sondes. Dat U in die kruis gesterf het sodat ons vry kan wees, sodat ons Here, dat ons nie vasgevang kan wees. Here, dat ons in oorwinning oor die draak en oor Satan kan lewe in hierdie wêreld. Dat ons aan die wenkant kan wees. Here, ek bid vir hierdie 3 mense wat vandag reageer, Here. Here, dat U vandag, dat hulle vandag dit wat hulle terughou, dat hulle in hierdie oomblik dat hulle dit sal oorgee en sal surrender. Dankie Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Here, ek wil net bid dat die vyand, dat elke houvas wat die vyand op hulle lewens het, Here, dat U dit nou sal breek in Jesus naam. Heilige Gees, kom raak hulle aan in Jesus naam. Heilige Gees, kom vul hulle met U vreugde, met U vrede. With your overwhelming joy and peace, God. Kom Here, kom raak hulle aan, dat hulle sal weet as hulle na huis toe gaan, as hulle môre wakker word, Here, dat hulle nie dieselfde mense is nie. Net U kan dit doen, Here. Net U kan dit doen. En ons loof en ons prys U en ons sê in Jesus naam amen. Julle kan sit. Kan sit. Ek wil vir julle 3 vra wel wat gereageer het dat julle na die tyd ja, julle kan na my toe kom of ja, sal iemand is na wie toe julle kan gaan en net vir hulle kan sê ek het hierdie besluit gemaak. Kan ek saam met jou koffie drink? En as jy nie weet na wie toe om te gaan, kom na my toe, dan sal ek iemand oor jou pad stuur. Een van die leiers, dames leiers of wat ook al, om 'n koffietjie te drink, want die gevaar altyd is dat dit net 'n oomblik sal wees. Maar die Here wil dit nie 'n oomblik hê nie, hy wil dit 'n journey hê. Dat hierdie is die begin van 'n journey. Otherwise it's just a nice moment. But I'm trusting for meer as net 'n nice moment. Mag julle oor toe, laaste ding wat ek wil vra. And I don't want this just to be like everyone stands because that's kind of the right thing. Ek wil net die volgende, een van die goed wat ek voel om te vra, en gewoonlik is dit die tipe ding wat almal gaan opstaan en almal gaan prayer receive, maar ek wil hê jy moet actually soos like erns voor die Here, so there's like a urgency. Daar's like as jy nou in Israel moet wees met die oorlog tussen Iran en Israel. As jy nou in Israel slaap, gaan jy in die nag gaan jy sirenes hoor wat in die stad afgaan. Hoekom? Want daar's 'n oorlog en daar's rockets wat geskiet word en ek wil hê dat jy moet soos genuinely ja, uit 'n plek van jy respond nie tot my nie, nie tot 'n gebed nie, maar jy respond tot Jesus. As jy voel dat jy het aan die slaap geraak in jou geloof tot enige mate en jy voel die Here, hy skud jou wakker vanaand en hy roep jou wakker en hy roep jou om in die geveg in te klim. Ek wil jy moet saam met my staan. Rian het nou vorentoe gekom en gesê hy ervaar daar's dalk verskonings. Soos ons kruip agter verskonings weg en goeders, maar wat van my kinders of wat van dit of wat van dit? Like as jy in die gees hoor die Here roep jou om die wapenrusting aan te trek vanaand en like daar's 'n mate van there's a measure of sleepiness in your faith. Like you're not actively combating the evil one in your life. Ja, dis gaan nog een kans gee. Kom ons staan voor die Here as dit jy is. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Heilige Gees, kom wys vir elkeen. Here, ek staan vanaand voor U, Here. Dankie dat U Rusland gebruik het tot 'n mate om my wakker te maak en my te laat besef dat daar's 'n spiritual war. Ek bid, Here, vir ons in comfort. Ja, as jy ervaar daar's 'n mate van gemak en ja, en die Here roep jou om uit jou gemak uit te tree. Ek wil jou ook uitnooi om te staan. If you feel like God is calling you to step out of your comfort zone. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.